You want to do what? Filtering advice. In the early spring of 1991, I made a life-altering decision. I would no longer work for anyone else. I would no longer be on someone else's time clock, at someone else's beck and call. I would no longer do my life by someone else's rules, schedules, and demands. I spent that spring in a very internal process of self-discovery. It was at that time that I began to consciously connect with what I wanted for myself in my life, beginning to disengage from what I thought was wanted of me. I was in conflict in my career and in my personal life. Not only was I having an identity crisis in my career, I was also going through a painful divorce. I know it is said that no decision is a bad one, that every decision brings you to the present moment, but I don't really believe that. Some decisions make your life easier, and some decisions put you on a learning path. All too often, the learning path is the harder path. Perhaps, ultimately, the learning path is better, but while you're doing it, it's nothing short of hell. Enter the best friend. That spring, I shared a house with two roommates in a 1960s tract house by a park through which ran a beautiful stream. My days were spent walking with my two dog friends along the creek, reading every self-help book I could get my hands on, sleeping, and crying. I had a very precious girlfriend in my life at that time, Marty. She became my co-attendee at support groups and co-creator of my business. I call her the foremother of my flower shop business. Marty and I met at a shop where I was teaching flower design classes. We became best friends at first sight. She began work there after she completed the design classes. We worked together at that shop for a few months until we hatched our plan to escape. Our boss was a very erratic person, chaotic and unpredictably abusive to the staff. Working there motivated us to change our situation, to move on to create a more fun and rewarding work environment for ourselves. We were looking for nothing less than fundamental changes in the way we were experiencing our lives. Marty had run a successful travel agency for 33 years. When we met, she was in a mentoring phase of her life, wishing to impart on some lucky soul, that became me, all she had learned in business as her mentor had done for her. In embarking on the flower business together, it was always clearly mine, with Marty available for full support and guidance until it felt time for her to let me fly solo. She ended up staying for 6 months after I moved into my first little shop. As I walked away from work and a marriage, renouncing all that was that never shall be again, I spent my days roaming around looking for myself. Everyone I knew had an opinion about what I should, shouldn't, could, and couldn't do with my life. The two most important things to consider regarding advice are: consider the source, and then consult with yourself. Oftentimes, unsolicited advice is meant to be helpful and to show you that the advisee cares for you. But sometimes people stick their noses into what is absolutely not their business. What I have discovered over the years is that nobody really knows what's best for me except me, and everybody has their own agenda. Trust. There are certain areas of your life where it's appropriate to gather advice and use it. For instance, if you're not feeling well, you go to the health practitioner in whom you trust and believe, following their advice to improve your health. The same goes for legal advice. If you were creating a sales contract with someone or settling a divorce, legal counsel is advice well worth taking if it comes from a lawyer you trust. And here's the operative word, trust. It's It's all about the trust factor. And even if you trust the source of your advice, you still need to consult with yourself and feel if the counsel is right to you. If it does not feel right to you, don't do it. What's their agenda anyway? Clearly identify someone's agenda. Do they have an agenda for you? Are they projecting what they want for themselves onto you? Do they sincerely want you to succeed? Are they trying to sell you something to benefit them? Did you ask for their advice in the first place? Is the advice unsolicited? Even when you hire legal counsel, you need to make final decisions based on how the process and the outcome feels to you. No one that I know has had more unfortunate experiences with lawyers than my sister. In a very difficult divorce settlement spanning 18 years, she has had lawyers who claim to have lost the entire file the day before the court date. She has had a lawyer who was arrested and sent to jail for drug trafficking. She has had a lawyer who, even after being given the stipulations he needed to cover in his presentation to the judge, did not cover my sister's interests, leading to a tremendous amount of anxiety, time, and money wasted in the legal system. Even very expensive counsel and advice can lead you down a thorny path. I feel it is always best to watch over your own needs as much as you possibly can. In the long haul, you will only be left with you anyway, and it is with you that you will have to settle your accounts. This is not to say that you should make important decisions for yourself in a vacuum. I've always benefited from talking out issues and scenarios with a trusted friend, family member, or therapist, supporting myself in making the most clear-headed, right decision for me. Sometimes, even after this type of process, I decide to follow through in a certain way that feels right in the moment, and then later, in retrospect, doesn't feel quite right. If I have made that decision myself, I have the opportunity to learn from it, identify and recognize a pattern I might want to change, or perhaps have more of an appreciation for my own eccentric personality quirks. You would never ask a car salesman, "Do you think I should buy this car?" Of course a salesman will want you to buy a car. That's his agenda. The only person who can tell you if a car purchase is right for you is you. You will be driving the car, you will be making the payments on it, and you will be paying the insurance premiums on it. The car and purchase of it needs to feel good for you, not to the salesman and not to anyone who is helping you to decide. Only you can decide what is best for you. Considering options. After Marty and I left the flower shop and decided to move on with our lives, and after enough downtime without work, there was no question I had to get back on track and make a life for myself. I had to figure out how to bring money in to support myself and my dog, and I needed to spend my days doing something that I not only could tolerate, but would actually enjoy. Though I have an undergraduate degree in horticulture and a master's degree in social work, I felt so emotionally crippled that the thought of going into some sort of professional job with benefits and dress codes was just not something I was up for by any stretch of the imagination. My mother had been a teacher for many years, and so she suggested I do that. I can't tolerate being around a large group of kids and feeling so incompetent in life. How could I possibly guide young folk when I barely knew where the road was myself? I had tried my hand at various forms of social work and flower work, and I just could not bear the thought of performing for another boss. I am wildly rebellious and am really mischievous when anyone tries to confine me, limit me, or structure a system around me, unless it is all of my own doing. So it became obvious that I was going to have to create something of my own doing, or it just wasn't going to work for me. Enter all the well-meaning people in my life, alive and dead, who have an opinion on what I should do next. My mother, as I mentioned, thought teaching would be good. My father, who had passed on years before, always had suggested to each one of us kids to go into the medical field. He had always wanted to be a doctor himself, but circumstances in his life made that impossible. After I received my bachelor's degree, he thought I should go into pharmaceuticals and use my degree for plant science research. Perfect example of advice from projection. My father had no inkling of my capabilities, and they certainly did not lie in a lab or any kind of scientific organization. But he certainly knew what he would have liked to have done with his own life. The man loved medicine, but I did not. Both of my brothers felt that I should pursue my social work career, as I am a natural chatterer and have a huge, compassionate heart. But I could not deal with the systems with which I would have to work, and the sadness. My sister thought I should look for and marry a wealthy guy. Well, my mother thought that was a great idea, too. She always said that it was just as easy to fall in love with a rich guy as a poor one. Now, as we know, this is a very popular choice and always has been. But it never rang true for me, for I was always frightened that I would be held back, confined, controlled in some way, unless I made my own money and my own rules. Out of this conviction to make it on my own was born my business, mine, all mine. Who knew the trials and challenges this conviction would bring to my life? It seemed like the easier path at the time, but how was I to know? I told everyone I would be doing freelance flowers out of my home, that is, the kitchen and the garage, and I'd see where it would go from there. The standard response was, "That's nice. Can you make a living at that?" Well, how the heck could I know? I certainly wasn't making a living at anything else, so what was the difference? I did know that I adored flowers, and also Marty was going to do it with me. How fun! One brother came to visit that summer that I began my home-based business, and as he viewed my old beer cooler set up in the garage, Marty's husband was in the hearing aid business at that time and traded a hearing aid for that cooler as a startup gift for me. My brother could not believe that someone would order flowers. I would provide them, and I would receive payment for them. Of course, my brother had never purchased flowers in his life, so he had no idea that one could actually make a living providing such a service. Being in such a vulnerable, in-betweeny place in my life, I began to doubt myself, for would not my brother want the best for me? Well, yes, but not if it was outside his frame of reference. His frame of reference was, you go to an office and you work. He was a lawyer and a law professor. Retail was just not something he could or would ever consider as a career choice. He could neither imagine it for himself nor for me. This is all to say that even someone who cares for you and really wants the best for you is not necessarily a person whose advice you would want to follow. Only you know what is in your heart. My motivating force has often been my will. I implement plans by sheer willpower and rebelliousness. I call it rebelliousness because I have found that many times I will move forward on something because someone told me I could not and would not be able to do it. It has been a pattern in my adult life to briskly move where I fear to tread. I don't usually take well to advice even if I pretend to myself that I want it. Sometimes I ask for advice knowing full well I will proceed ahead as I choose to, regardless of what anyone else might think. I feel that over the many years that I have been practicing at life, I have come to be able to filter advice that is good for me and advice that is not. Fear-based advice, watch out for this. You have to be able to distinguish between advice given from fear and advice given from knowledge. Advice given from the advisee's fear will always sound like bad news couched in worry and fret. The most vociferous advice I can remember receiving came about 4 years after I had established my store. The business was bursting at the seams, and I had to move to a larger space. There was a shopping center located by the hospital that had been established in the 1950s. The neighborhood was becoming quite upscale. People were buying up the old houses there and remodeling them. The mall already had some cool shops and some shops that had been there on the original lease. The center had been purchased by a group of 12 investors and was their dream child. They were making it into the place to be. Diagonally across from the center was another florist shop. For some reason, everyone and their mother thought that the flower shop would make it impossible for my shop to succeed, and they were going to tell me so. The well-meaning advice sounded something like this. What about the competition from the shop across the street? Aren't you worried that you'll be in competition from the shop across the street? Are you aware that there is a shop across the street? I began to actually enjoy the exchange because when I told people where I was moving to, I could anticipate the response. Call it bravado, call it courage, call it just brazen stupidity and not studying the market needs. I never once considered that the shop across the street would do anything but bolster my sales. It's like the car lot theory of marketing. You know how car lots are usually found together in the same area? It actually creates a desire in the consumer because not only is there so much from which to choose, but there is also the fun of comparison shopping. I was so sure of my business and what I had to offer, it never occurred to me to be concerned about what someone else was doing. I was so focused on what I was creating that it never crossed my mind to be concerned with the shop across the street. Except that it would offer comparison shopping, something that I felt confident which would work in my favor, which it did. Big shop advice can sometimes be the worst kind. I knew of a small catering and takeout place in a huge shopping center where the town's largest grocery store was located. To me, it always seemed out of place and not at all suited to the type of clientele who shopped there. I asked the owner how they chose that spot for their business. She gave me a very complicated answer that involved a brother from California who was a marketing research specialist. He had researched retail spots around the country, and this was supposedly the perfect spot. The problems that developed and brewed there finally collapsed the business. The bottom line was that the location was completely inappropriate to their type of business, and they had listened to advice of a marketing specialist who had never even been to our town. Priestess Petal of Wisdom. A small business needs to be the fulfillment of the owner's dream. Know your dream and be willing to commit to it 100%. Regardless of what the outcome of the journey is, it is yours. Ask for advice when you feel that you need it, but remember to only heed advice that feels right to you. Advice that is aligned with your deepest dreams and visions for yourself. Only you know what is right for you.